Rod Miller has worked as a cowboy on the staffs of Governor Ed Hirschler and Mike Sullivan, was a small businessman, and became a ranch manager. Now he wants to become a member of Congress and is challenging Liz Cheney in the Republican primary. Miller is a colorful candidate, but is very serious about this election. He joins me in the studio where we begin our conversation talking about what to do about immigration.
In a nutshell, a country that is sending jobs overseas and importing people is always going to be in trouble. And immigration is a huge problem right now. I hearken back to Al Simpson and Romano Mazzoli in the late 80s, their bill, which basically said, okay, people are here illegally, we'll give them a clear path to citizenship, provided they haven't broken any other laws, and we're going to tighten up our borders, and we're going to go after employers who are bringing these people in. There was no political will to follow through on that. Hence, we're in this situation we have now. So I hearken back to the wisdom of Simpson Mazzoli as a solution. But again, I think Congress has to step up to the plate.
It, when you look at what the administration is doing, and sometimes it's hard to figure some of these things out, what they're actually up to, but it does really seem like they want to go after the people who are here illegally and just send them back and not get them in. So what's the compromise there? What's the way you'd like to see this all work out?
Strict border control. Whether you're an amnesty seeker or whether you just want to come into the country for a job, let's get that work done at the border rather than let people in and deal with them ex post facto when they're already here without documentation.
What did you think about what was going on, the separation of the kids and all of that?
It's inhumane to weaponize children. Good God. Come on, Bob. Give me a break.
Well, I'm just asking your opinion on that.
Yeah, it was inhumane. Mm-hmm. We as a country should be better than that. We should not resort to using 10 and 12-year-olds as a pawn in an immigration policy that we don't have the wisdom or political will to craft for ourselves. So, end of sermon.
Do you see this getting solved anytime soon?
I do. I absolutely do. It's not going to be easy. Like I mentioned Simpson Mazzoli, this has been going on for decades. But it's going to come to a head, and we're going to have to solve it. Otherwise, it's going to become a political pawn that is constantly tossed back and forth between the parties, and it's going to distract us from the really important work that this country has to do.
Rod Miller visiting with us. He is a Republican candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives. Well, here's an easy one for you. Tell me about how you're going to fix health care and this. Do you start again? Do you continue to work on what's called Obamacare? Where do we go from here? Because obviously the Republicans took a whack at it and they didn't get anywhere.
This is another one, Bob, that's been floating around since Lyndon Johnson's Great Society tried to take a whack at health care. And yes, it's constitutional. And in the preamble, it says promoting the general welfare is one of the raison d'etre for government. So we have to get at that nut somehow. Philosophically, I believe that, yes, government has a role to play in making sure that our citizens are healthy. How we do that is where we've been cutting the cheese all along the process. If you're looking at insurance, the cheapest insurance is that insurance policy that is spread out over the greatest number of people. Actuarial fact. The premiums are less, the risk is spread out over a greater area, and you have more effective policy. Insurance is only one of the areas of healthcare that we need to deal with. The other one is the cost of drugs, a pharmaceutical industry that is using its political and monetary clout to get its way through Congress, a Food and Drug Administration that oftentimes acts more as a cheerleader for Big Pharma than it does for consumers. So we've got a lot of work to do, but again, it's like immigration. We need to get it done.
Senator Enzi has said from time to time when he's backed off of the politics, but he said from time to time that really the best way to go here is to focus on a few things and then get those resolved, and then you take another step. So it's small bites. Do you agree with that approach?
I do. Case in point, Hillary Clinton's health care initiative at the very beginning of Bill Clinton's term, big heal-all, fix-all, omnibus sort of health care thing that fell flat on its face. I don't think that's the way to do it. I think our political will is there to take those small bites of the elephant and eat it slowly.
Where do we get this? How do you see solving the drug issue? Because you have so many in Congress who, you know, just check the numbers in campaigns that are getting worked pretty hard to not bring drugs from out of the country in here, and which obviously would reduce costs and that kind of thing. It's such a well-lobbied issue. How do you get something like that through and resolve it?
Why are those senators and representatives resisting that? It's because their contributions and the political influence from huge pharmaceutical companies. If there is a cheaper generic alternative to a drug produced by Big Pharma that does just as well, why not bring it into the country and let consumers decide which one they want to buy?
The other thing I'm sure you hear, Rod, on the campaign trail, and we've heard it for years, is this whole cost issue and just getting it under control. And boy, I recently got a chance to look at some medical bills and just reviewing what they were. And boy, this costs this, this costs that, unless you have insurance, and then it'll cost this, and then it'll cost that. How do we get just a handle on what the real costs are for healthcare?
That's a difficult one, Bob. On the drug and medication side of it, I think we have some more tools in our toolkit to deal with that. When it comes to the cost for a stay in an emergency room or intensive care unit, something like that, I don't know how we get a handle on those costs. Mm-hmm. I would not say that it's time for the government to step in and tell hospitals or doctors what they should charge, but that is every bit as an important component of the healthcare question, as is insurance.
Congress, especially the House of Representatives, just recently looked at a number of pieces of legislation on opioid abuse and maybe some reforms in that area. I'm curious if you had a chance to look at any of that and then what you think about where they're going or what you would like to see in that particular area.
Yeah, I've seen any number of studies on opioid abuse. And we have pharmaceutical companies out there that are producing and marketing the fentanyls and the opioids and drugs of a similar nature that are addicting people. And then that pharmaceutical company comes up with an antidote for an overdose and markets that. That's crazy policy. The opioids and the hard drugs, heroin, meth, those drugs that do real harm to people should be included in the Food and Drug Administration schedule of dangerous drugs because they are by definition dangerous. Cannabis, on the other hand, I think should be off the schedule of FDA dangerous drugs. Left up to the states whether or not to regulate it, legalize it, or whatever. But that cannabis legalization represents a source of potential revenue to deal with the effects on society from opioids and those other hard drugs.
Rob Miller visiting with us. He's a Republican candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives. Rob, one area that I know you've worked hard on over the years, and that's been on land use issues, and we're seeing the Trump administration take a look at wilderness areas and possibly removing some of those areas. I'm curious where you see what you think of what they're up to and what might be a better way to get at some of the things they're getting at. I imagine it's for oil and gas
development. Bob, there's a microcosm and a macrocosm answer to that question. Let's deal with the wilderness study areas, which are in the BLM planning process. And they've been there for 20 or 30 years. They have wilderness characteristics or were when the planning process evolved and came to fruition. Now it's time to look at those and decide, what are we going to do? Are we going to include them in our Wyoming wilderness system or release them for multiple use, either hard release or soft release? What is the mix of things that are going to happen on that? We should do that. There's no problem. I have no problem at all with looking at the BLM wilderness areas. The Wyoming County Commissioners Association had initiated a process at the county level to do just that, put together a collaborative group of on-the-ground folks to look at WSAs in their locale and come up with some recommendations. Representative Cheney has backdoored that process and introduced legislation that would do what some of those folks were talking about. I think that's counterproductive. That is removing the wisdom of the local people and replacing it with wisdom from Congress. That's on the wilderness study areas. That's my sermon.
Tariffs. We're talking about those things and you know, renegotiating a bunch of these agreements that we've had in the past. Your thoughts on that?
I think that's a situation, Bob, where Congress has punted some of its constitutional authority to an executive branch, and the executive elected every 4 years is much more prone to the winds of political change that happen. Congress, on the other hand, should be more stable over the course of time and should exercise our international commerce activities, just like the Constitution says. Tariffs can have huge blowback. If we get mad at an Asian country for producing cheap steel, cheap aluminum, and dump it here, and we put tariffs on that, they're going to put tariffs on, and they're targeting red state businesses now, ag businesses, and trying to hurt the folks who are the president's supporters on the tariff. So there's huge blowback.
Now, the president will tell you, if we were to bring him in here and visit with us, but he would say that the reason you do this is to negotiate some better trade deals, and that the U.S. has not done well with trade deals over the years. Do you think he's right on that?
I do. I think tariffs, duties, trade wars are symptoms of an utter failure in our economic diplomacy, which is where those decisions should be made. Those deals should be cut. And those are long-term. If he's not satisfied with the trade deals we're in, he certainly has the ability to go in there and through our trade representative and head of the Department of Commerce, try and rearrange those. But to abrogate them and start slapping tariffs on people, that's going to come back and hurt folks in Wyoming.
Rod Miller, he is a Republican candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives. Thank you for stopping by.
Bob, thanks for having me in. It's always a pleasure coming to the flagship of everything that's groovy in Wyoming.